29. An Appeal. Context. Ellen White penned this letter almost a year after the tragic Oakwood fire that claimed the life of a student and the school's main building. Oakwood was in dire financial straits and in need of assistance. September 10, 1907. To my brethren and sisters in America, I have a deep interest in the work of the Southern Field. I am especially interested in those branches of our work that are established at Huntsville and other places where efforts are being put forth for the training of laborers to work for the spiritual uplifting of the colored race. The work at Huntsville has been in special need of help since the fire. In Huntsville, promising colored youth are to be trained to labor as missionaries for their own race. Many teachers must be educated and sent forth to enlighten those in the darkness of error. Our donations are needed that this work may go forward. Our buildings in Huntsville are being put up with as little expenditure of means as possible, and our workers have gone forward almost as far as they can with this work until means come in so that they can advance. The work there now demands that we have a modest but roomy sanitarium where the sick can be taken in and treated. The colored race should have the benefits of such an institution as verily as should the white people. In this sanitarium, colored nurses are to be trained for service in the field as gospel medical missionaries. Our ideas of what should be done for this people are too narrow and limited. Years ago, they should have had the benefits of an all-round education. As I consider how much is needed in order to do for this people all that God expects us to do, I am urged to call upon our church members to give of their abundant fullness that the work may be accomplished. In a few places in the South, noble efforts have been put forth for the salvation of the colored people, but God asks that they be labored for more diligently. We can all pray for them. Some of our missionaries can work among them, and many of us who have not done so in the past can help with our means. We may not be able to do all that we desire, but if we will remember that the colored race is the purchased possession of Christ, bought by the shedding of His precious blood, this thought will teach us to deny self in order that they may have the privileges that Christ died to give them. When I see those who claim to believe present truth spending their means for useless trimmings and personal adornment, when I see their tables loaded down with story periodicals which have cost money, when I see the many photographs which have called for the outlay of means that might have been used in blessing the needy, my heart is made sad, and I pray, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. I wish such souls could understand the spirit in which Christ, the Prince of Heaven, came to this world. He laid off His kingly crown and royal robe, and for our salvation assumed human nature. He would give to every church that should be established in His name an example of what every true missionary worker should be. He was in the world as a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Though He was one with God and had made the world, He became a member of a humble family and experienced the privations of the poor. Throughout His life, He ever manifested a burden for the souls of men. The example of the humble life of Christ should lead us to ask ourselves the question, do I practice His humility? Fathers and mothers, are you educating your children to follow the example of Him who, though He was rich, yet for our sakes became poor, that He might give to us eternal riches? Are you teaching them to deny self and take up the cross of Christ and follow Him? I do not speak these words to wealthy men and women only, but to those also who by works of self-denial and self-sacrifice can have a part in giving the message to the colored race. This work should not be confined to the few places where a good beginning has been made. It should extend to every place where the colored people live, for every soul needs the knowledge of this last message of mercy to the world. There is a great and grand work to be done in the South. Shall we not, my brethren and sisters, redeem our past neglect? Shall we not appreciate the gift of God to us and work for the salvation of the colored people with a zeal that is proportionate to the light we have had? To as many as receive Him, God will give power to become the sons of God.
The collection for the work among the colored people has been left until near the close of the year. Many other calls for means have been made. But I would say to my brethren and sisters who have been liberal in their offerings to other missionary enterprises, let your gifts for the support of this branch of the work in the southern field be generous. Keep in mind the great need of this mission field within the shadow of our doors. Let every member of the family have a part in the work of giving, and let each feel that it is a work for God. Through the efforts that have been put forth by faithful workers, churches have been raised up among the colored people in the South. When the company in Vicksburg, who had received the truth under the labors of Elder J.E. White and his associates, met for the dedication of their church, I was present with them, and the Lord gave me freedom in speaking to those assembled. Quite a large number of persons from other churches were present, and many of them were surprised to see the neatly dressed women and to hear the excellent singing. These colored people had learned to know that Christ had died for them, and their hearts were glad in the truth. They bore sincere testimonies to the goodness of the Lord. My heart rejoiced as I saw these converts to the faith, and this is an illustration of what can be accomplished in other places for this people. We must never forget that Christ died for all, the Negroes as well as the white people. All may alike be the recipients of His grace. The Apostle Paul declares, "The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that, according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. My brethren and sisters, your talent of means is needed. The Lord grant that you may use it at this time to His name's glory. Just as long as we drift with the current of the world, we need neither canvas nor oar. Our labors begin when we turn to stem the tide. Now, just now, let your works of self-denial testify that you are stemming the current of selfishness. It is the duty of every soul who names the name of Christ to contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. My brethren, yoke up with Christ. He left the royal courts and clothed His divinity with humanity, that He might make all humanity partakers of the divine nature, and enable them to escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. He practiced self-denial that He might save perishing souls. His followers are to work his works. Shall we not let the Spirit of Christ take possession of our hearts, that we may be cleansed from every taint of selfishness? When we allow our lives to be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, we shall with willing hearts bring our gifts and offerings to Him, that He may use them where they are most needed.